Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to the first in our series on the study of angels. We remind viewers and listeners that the conclusion of this study, along with more than 2,000 other 30-minute Bible studies, along with more than 100 gospel hymns, and with our contact and donation information, can all be found on our website, bbfohio.com. As we begin with the current events update, and then our study of angels, beginning in Hebrews 1, 13 and 14, this is part one of two. I just want to have a little fun. We did some cartoons Sunday. Today I'd like to do some meme reviews instead of news, because memes are more accurate than today's news. The older generations may have been a lot of things, but at least we weren't offended by pancake syrup. Pilgrim.
What?
Mrs. Butterworth. The woke crowd was all offended by... And I told you, they're racist. Mrs. Butterworth is a black woman who's a hard worker. And her syrup was successful. People liked it. Liberals are racist. And they treat blacks like they're still on the plantation. They treat Mexicans like they're just slave labor. And they treat them like they are incapable. And so they hold them down with all their giveaways and such. And you'll find that most successful black men in America, I'm not talking about, there's a lot of, the poverty pimps like Jesse Jackson and those guys, they've made their millions. But if you look at people who have made money through business, and they're black or Hispanic, most of them are conservative. There's a reason. You won't fix anything by posting memes. Response: the American Revolution was mostly planned in pubs and was popularized using pamphlets.
That's right.
The internet is the modern pub, and the pamphlets or tracts are now memes. And that's why they've tried to silence those who use the internet and memes to do a little thing called freedom of speech. But the Democrats are communists, and they want to stop freedom of speech. Joe Biden is a communist.
Yep.
Commie Harris.
Yep.
Oh, Kamala Harris is a communist.
That's right.
If you can read this, I have not killed you yet. Dr. Fauci. I love that. The party that thinks men can get pregnant wants to control misinformation on the internet. Is this not the truth? I mean, it's... Here's Kamala Harris. It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
That's a real quote.
It makes no sense. She's been hanging around Joe Biden too long, starting to talk like it. I can't really tell which Biden has the most drugs pumped into him. That's Joe Biden's son with a crack pipe hanging out of his mouth. I posted this one myself. I wanted to share it today. You don't deserve freedom if you won't speak out against the communist Democrat mob. Here's a couple of before and afters. Before. After. How many of you saw Tucker Carlson originated that one in his program? Before, this is America before Joe Biden. America after Joe Biden. And that's Matthew McConaughey. He actually did that to himself for a part in a movie. That's not makeup or anything. But that's a great before and after. America before and after Joe Biden. All right, that's fun. Angels, Hebrews 1, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14, if you get your Bibles there, if you're not already. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. Now, you may have strong opinions about angels.
We don't care about opinions. Amen?
Yeah. My wife's an angel.
Huh?
My wife's an angel.
Well, that's... I'm not going to argue with that.
Smart man.
Yeah. I'm dumb, but I ain't stupid. But one of the crazy things when you talk about angels, it says this from the very start, people get really hostile. It's a strange thing. And they have their opinions about it. I'm going to tell you up front, if you're basing your belief on angels from the book of Enoch, you're a fool.
Amen.
And that's what a lot of people today will argue about angels, and they're getting their information from a book that was from about the 4th century A.D., it was written by people pretending to be Enoch, so they're liars. And none of the information you get in there, outside of what they quote in the scripture from, comes from anything more than a man's imagination. But there are people, especially, originally I saw it among New Agers, but now it's among professing Christians. And there's Raphael and all these named angels that the Bible doesn't mention. So let's read. And we're going to start off with one of the things that almost every evangelical has been lied to about when it comes to angels. We'll start right off after we read Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. If you're there, read it with me. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen. Now, just to point out some of the silliness you get from people, is that there's actually, somebody sent me a picture they drew where Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and God's got his right hand up, and Jesus is sitting there. And he's kind of miniature, too. That's an unbiblical picture. This isn't talking about him sitting on the literal right hand of God the Father. God is spirit. So God the Father doesn't walk around in a body like ours anyway. When he talks about the right hand of God, we'll see later, there, the Bible talks about him covering us with his feathers. God's not a big chicken. He doesn't have feathers. That's all figurative language. And so is this, sit on my right hand, meaning on his right hand. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Ephesians says the same thing. So you may have been told that an angel is... Let me ask you, and this isn't going to reflect badly on you. I'm not saying you claim this. I'm asking, what were you taught? The word angel, what's it mean, or what are they said to be? Anybody?
Well, I had the benefit of having a mother.
No, that's what I'm asking. What if you were taught the right thing? You can say that.
Yeah, that they were, they're created by God.
And no, I mean, this is like a one word.
They're men. They look like men.
That's true. We'll get to that. Yes. Yeah, those are all examples of the bad versions of angels. Okay, that's not my question. My question was, what were you taught? Some of you, I know you know this and you're afraid to say it, but I'm not going to pick one.
The ministering spirit.
That's the Bible answer. But what most people are taught is that. And I know, because I've listened to about 100 messages on this over 30 years, and I took a college course and read 2 textbooks, and they all said that, well, all but, be fair, there are a few that didn't, but it was a wake up to me. I'm like, what? I was taught in my college course that they're messengers. The word angelos in Greek means messenger. Well, here's the problem. It's wrong. Now, that's not to say angels are never messengers, but have you ever delivered a message? Raise your hand if you've delivered a message at some time in your life, any time. Kim's the only one that hadn't. You haven't? Huh? Oh, she has. Okay, I was going to say, I thought that everybody in the room, I thought there was a couple, but she did too. So every one of us have delivered a message. Does that make you a messenger?
I'm a messenger.
No. You're a human being.
An angel. It makes me a messenger.
You're a human being, and you are a Christian. Amen?
Uh-huh.
Does that mean all Christians are messengers? That a Christian means, you know, that's the kind of ludicrous type of so-called scholarship that develops into what they then teach about angels. That definition of messenger, by the way, came from a man-made lexicon, not from the Bible. Lexicons are man-made. You know, a lexicon is basically a fancy word for a dictionary. Mm-hmm. But it sounds more scholarly If I'm looking it up, not in a dictionary, a Greek dictionary, I looked it up in the lexicon. And it sounds like, you know, some kind of a, you know, character in Lord of the Rings or something. But here are the dangers of lexicons. Number one, they are the work of fallible human beings. This book is a work where God used fallible human beings, but He gave them His words. He breathed His words. They are given by inspiration of God. Therefore, what's in this book is not fallible. It is infallible. Every other book ever made by man is fallible. And yet there's people out there who treat lexicons and other things like they're infallible. Some people get totally screwed up because they believe they treat the writings of the church fathers as infallible. They couldn't be. They contradict each other in thousands of places. There's only one infallible book on the planet. Number two, lexicons replace Bible-based definitions with pagan use definitions. If you want a lexicon, the closer thing to a real Bible lexicon is the Webster 1828 dictionary, because he based his definitions largely upon the Bible and even used Bible verses to prove his point. That's what a lexicon should be. Now, it's not infallible. There's places, few places I found where I think he's a little off. I pointed out one last week. But it's the best dictionary in English. Right. But it sounds, you know, fancier. The third danger of lexicons is that they're used to change the Bible by cults and heretics. You will hear a guy get up and read the King James Bible. It used to be more often you'd see this. Now so many of them have changed to the new versions. But there was a time where almost all the churches would use the King James Bible, but they'd tear the King James text up by quoting lexicons. And those lexicons are corrupt. And also, I want to say this before I move. I should have said this about point two. They are literally taking garbage. They are finding garbage in places like Egypt with Greek written on it. A lot of times it's not even Koine Greek. It's classical Greek or other forms of Greek in dialects and that kind of thing. And they'll base on some Egyptian pagan who doesn't even know God, uses a word a certain way, and then they'll introduce that definition they got from a garbage heap in Egypt. The reason why they're still around is because Egypt is so dry in certain areas that when something gets buried, it'll last centuries and 2,000 or 3,000 years. Yeah. And so they find these little pieces of things where they found like grocery lists, to-do lists, letters, you know, just written to somebody, notes of sorts, different kinds. And they'll take the definition from that thing they found in the garbage and then put it into the lexicons, and then a preacher will see that, and he'll like that word better than what's in the word, and then he'll change it, and that's what your sermons are giving you all over the country, week in and week out. It's pathetic. It's satanic. It's blasphemous. So the fourth reason, then, is that the dangers of lexicons, they also breed doubt, or a lexicon also breeds doubt in the minds of believers regarding the King James Bible, because people who don't even know Greek really can't even read the word in the lexicon, but they'll look at the anglicized version of that word, and they'll read it in the English transliterated from the Greek, and then they'll look at the definition and they'll read their King James and they'll say, wait a minute, that's different. And then some people then get real arrogant about it and like, yeah, it's that King James. I could show you 100 places where it's wrong. Based on what? Based on my use of a pagan, fallible lexicon.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I've heard him do it.
The Bible gave us God's definition in our text. Amen, Jenny?
Amen.
Amen, Kim. You both that's what you tried to get me to say before I was ready. But you're right. That's the whole thing, is God tells us what an angel is right there in what we just read.
Yep.
Angel. Here's the Greg lexicon. Angel, noun, ministering spirits, ministering to heirs of salvation. That's what it ought to say. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 14 that angels, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And we're going to have a study on that. Some of you might have your minds blown like I did the first time I studied this stuff out. The Bible has its own inbuilt dictionary. And I'll say this too before we go to a couple things I recommend for further study is that sometimes you may have difficulty, you know, identifying that inbuilt definition. Not all of us are Columbo. And, we don't, some of us just aren't good at that kind of thing, but you get better at it the more you do it. But you should only consult dictionaries when you can't find the definition right there in the text. A lot of times one verse will say something, and then if you read the next verse, the definition is right there, just like we just saw. Verse 13 brings up angels. Verse 14 is your definition. So it's pretty easy there. But for further study, because we don't have time to get in depth on this, but there's one book called The Language of the King James by Gail Ripplinger. The subtitle, Discover Its Hidden Built-In Dictionary. We've got a copy, if it's not checked out, in our church library. I have a copy at home, and that's one of several. There's also another book that I believe we have, if it's not checked out, is Archaic Words in the Authorized Version by Lawrence Vance, where he gives the definition to all the so-called archaic words. And then he also shows that they introduce archaic words in the NIV and the ESV and the others so that they can get a copyright. So when they say they're putting out new versions to get rid of the archaic words in the King James, and yet they introduce new ones in the new versions. And he proves it. He's got the list right there in that book. She might as well. I can't remember if it's in that one or not. Another book specifically about lexicons. And again, we've had a copy of that on the shelf. I make sure anybody who calls themselves a preacher gets a copy. Amen?
Amen.
John's got a copy of it. And anybody that comes here and is claimed to be a preacher, I make sure they get this. It's called Hazardous Materials, Greek and Hebrew Study Dangers, The Voice of Strangers by, again, Gail Ripplinger. And she documents the corrupt men and materials used to develop lexicons. And not every man is corrupt, but there are a bunch of them who are. And all the lexicons are corrupt. They are.
Amen.
It's just a fact. So don't base your idea of angels on art either.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll really mess you up. I mean, TV, Mary mentioned a couple of those shows, Touched by an Angel and Highway to Heaven. Real bad stuff. How many was it? Heaven Can Wait, and those kind where they go to heaven and they're like, you can't come in yet. You've got to go back and do more works. Like, totally not biblical. We don't get into heaven by our works. Then I saw one yesterday. I can't remember the name of it. It was a pretty big movie at the time it came out. He goes to heaven, but then is caught or cut off by Satan, who makes a deal with him. That Satan will let him into heaven if he goes back and possesses a very good, respectable judge and does bad things.
Wow.
I mean, that's Hollywood. That's what I'm telling you. It's just, they'll go to all kinds of lengths to screw up everybody's head. And artists have been the same way through the years. That right there is cute, but it's not biblical. If when you think of angels, you think there's little babies around with wings, you know, and people picture Cupid, you know. That's not a biblical angel at all. This one, attractive, but not biblical. We'll see in a moment that there are no female angels according to the Scripture.
Amen.
And they don't have those big wings, and they don't wear dresses. They wear white raiment. Again, female with wings, not. That's just not a biblical picture of an angel. This one is just downright blasphemous. A lot of the angels, and I picked that one because the least sensual, most of these female angels you see drawn, they look like a mixture of, I don't know, Hee-Haw and, you know what I mean? Yeah, like Playboy Bunny type, yeah. That's what I'm getting at. And so you got to be careful. If you do research in angels, and you make sure I have my safe search on permanently. But you might have a reason why you take it off or whatever, but have your safe search on. You do searches on angels. It gets really ugly. And I know that because somebody else told me not to, you know, and so I didn't. But the art gets even more absurd and blasphemous, as I mentioned, but we won't go there. The only way to have an accurate idea of angels is to stick to the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So Scripture with Scripture. Number one, angels are ministering spirits to the saints and to Jesus on earth. I want to nail that point down. Mark 1:13, Jenny Miller. And Luke 22:41-44. Well, let's go around this way. Jim, can you get that one? Luke 22:41-44. So, Jenny, read for us Mark 1:13.
And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him.
Okay. The angels ministered unto who?
Jesus.
Yeah, ministering spirits. So, Jim, Luke 22:41-44.
And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Yeah. So, and we're going to talk more about that in another study, but time doesn't allow us to run the 283 references to angel and angels in the Bible to see their ministry to men and Jesus over and over in this study. And we wouldn't be able to do that in probably 20 or 30 studies. But that's a very interesting use of your time. Just do a search on angel and angels and just run the references. And we'll look at angels and Jesus and then angels and the saints in future studies. But number two, angels on earth appear as men, always. Kim, if you could look up Genesis 18, verses 1 and 2. Johnny, Genesis 18:22. And Dan, if you could look up Genesis 19:1. And what we're going to see is this was when Abraham was visited by the three. And we'll let you hear what they turn out to be. Go ahead. Him.
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he had saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground.
So you notice there that these three are called men, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, go on down the chapter to verse 22. And Brother Johnny will read that for us.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord.
So one of those three is called the Lord. And we'll look at that again some other time. That's a theophany, a Christophany. That's Jesus. Now the other two heading for Sodom are called men as well in this instance. And Dan, read Genesis 19:1.
And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground.
So the two men in what Johnny read are called two what?
Angels.
Angels in what Dan read. So angels, and that, of course, you also notice there was no mention of wings. If they had wings, they wouldn't have been described as men. And again, we don't have time to run all the references, but you always see angels referred to as men, and they don't mention wings. Johnny?
All right, it'd also be good to also add to that list the, I think it's verse 19:5 of Genesis there, just to further confirm that.
We'll go ahead and read it.
In 19:5, well, this is just said by the Sodomites. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night?
Right.
Bring them out unto us.
So we're told they're angels and men right there in Genesis 19:1-5 by comparison. So there's no wings mentioned, and they're always men and never female, and you'll have to run the references to try to prove me wrong on that, and I always encourage you to do so. Number three, oh, again, angels on earth never have wings. We're going to look at Matthew 28, 1 through 3, Mary, and Janie, Mark 16, 5 through, and 6, and look it up now, and then you can take your notes later, and then John Altball, Acts 1, 10, and 11. So, Mary, if you're there, read Matthew 28, 1 through 3.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake.
I'm Pastor Greg Miller, and as we begin a new year, we invite you to tune in to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com for current events updates and expository Bible studies each and every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. right here on The Word. 880 AM and 104.5 FM, WRFD,